MacBook Pro, that's a MacBook Pro Max! You seem like maybe the lights turned off.
Were you a little rusty? Because it's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a little while. I'm not sure.
Keith's reaffirming that it's comic book.
Yeah. Is it?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
We'll see.
Seems like kind of a bit of a nightmare so far.
We don't host another show other than this one.
Oh, you don't?
No.
I don't know if you guys ever have any questions about what we do outside of here. The short answer is never seen. We all have separate lives.
It's interesting that you say that, actually, given what we did earlier this afternoon.
The one thing we did together.
I don't know if you guys know, but the Avengers is filming around town. That's pretty exciting. So we went up to the Central Park set, and we were trying to get into the movie because we're actors. That's definitely what I've always said.
Some of us more classically trained than others.
I'm a classically trained actor.
Yeah. So what we did to get onto the set, and I think this is pretty clever, we killed Robert Downey Jr. And then we submitted ourselves for the part of Iron Man.
It's an awkward audition. We were there with the murder weapon.
Right. And we're all going to do it, though. We're going to do it Mary-Kate and Ashley style.
Yeah, well, we'll just rotate it and nobody will be able to tell the difference.
Yeah, what are we going to play, Pete?
I'm going to be drunk Robert Downey Jr.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So you're Robert Downey Jr. Heyo!
And he's going to be the mechanical when he's like building the suits and stuff.
So he's montage sequence.
Okay, if you go fast, they won't be able to tell the difference between you and I.
Yeah, that's right.
And then you are sound editing?
Yeah, sound editing. I'm going to be the guy who, when they cut you accidentally in one scene, is going to be like,
Nice. I think it'll be seamless.
We'll see in the movie. Comes out sometime.
Yeah, Avengers comes out sometime. Check it out. Guys, I'm very excited about the guests we have tonight, so let's welcome them out. One of them is the author of So Buttons, an awesome graphic novel series. The other is an amazing comedian who has a comedy scene called As Is. Ladies and gentlemen, Ophira Eisenberg and Jonathan Bamas! Yeah! Guys. All right.
These are the last. These people saw Arsenio Hall's last taping, and they've been traveling around at some mobile dog pound.
Yes. Thanks for stopping by, guys. Thank you guys for stopping by. We're very excited to have you here, Jonathan. Let's chat with you first about So Buttons.
Yes. What would you like to know?
What is So Buttons?
So Buttons is, if you've heard of Harvey Pekar or seen the movie American Splendor, is an autobiographical comic book where I tell stories about my life, and I hire different artists to interpret different atmospheres of stories.
Okay. Now, I could just go read Harvey Pekar, so...
Sure. Wow. I'm younger.
Aggressive.
To be fair, when we had Harvey on the show, he said the same thing about you.
Is that true?
Yeah.
It's certainly a more contemporary New York take. It's not really the curmudgeonly, he would hate that, curmudgeonly Cleveland kind of guy take on it. And yeah, just a more contemporary, modern take on that kind of thing.
I mean, we're all New Yorkers, so it's...
It's good for New York. My biggest customer is a comic store in New York.
Are we in it?
Yep. Hanley's. But Midtown has also bought some books. Yeah.
We don't.
No, or do we appear in it?
Or are you in it?
Are we in it?
Well, you know, like you can pick it out in the crowd scene, take a look, you know.
Cool.
That's great.
I was researching So Buttons before your appearance on the show, and there's a blog called So Buttons that is about a woman who glues buttons onto picture frames. Do you consider her a rival?
Competition?
Yeah. It was like the fourth hit.
I've seen her blog, and I will crush her.
Yeah.
Wow.
She's got it. She lives in Utah, and she's got a hot picture of a raccoon in a tree.
In a tree.
She's like, I live in Utah. What's that animal in the tree? Her first guess was koala. Incorrect.
It seems like you ended up doing more research on the buttons lady than actual his stuff.
Yeah, I gotta be honest, actually. I thought we were having the buttons lady on the show.
Sorry.
So I'm a little disappointed, but it's interesting that you do comics.
Yes, I do comics.
It actually makes way more sense.
talk about how you released this book and how you put it together.
What happened was years ago, I was actually seeing a comedy show where my girlfriend, now wife, Ophira, was performing, and there was a newspaper called Free Comics NYC, and it had it was just a free paper at a pizza shop on Bleecker Street, and I saw, oh look, there's all kinds of strips in there, and I said, you know what, maybe I'll talk to my friend who's an artist, maybe if we drew a strip, we would get it in there. And so, I wrote a little strip about how my dad went to like the draft board for Vietnam, and I always thought like, oh, it was the kind of thing that he might flee from if he were, if he were drafted, or if they would have, stamped him okay. But he had terrible, terrible vision, and they stamped him absolutely not. And I was,
did they really?
Absolutely. Yeah, he said, no fucking way. Is he going? But
they only bring that stamp out from the top shelf. No fucking way.
But everything about my father is predictable, and this one moment was not predictable because he said that he would have gone, that he would have gone to Vietnam. But luckily for me, that didn't happen. But I got that story into the newspaper, and then soon after, a magazine appeared called The Comical, and was appearing in comedy clubs, and I was like, oh, I'm dating a comedian, and they had a Harvey Pekar strip in there, and but they were reprints, and I go, how about a new strip about a guy who dates a comic? And the guy's like, send me the script. And what's his name? LaBelle?
Yeah. Yep.
Danny LaBelle. I sent him the script, and he said, sounds good. And I was in that, I think, for 4 or 5 issues, and then he turned it into like a website or a radio show or something like that. But then that, I started to collect them, and they're distributed through different stores across America. And it was a slow build.
Now, this might be a totally stupid question, since you draw on your own life, what if nothing happens? Do you draw a lot of? Do you?
Well, it's a good thing I'm old.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Well, it's not like I'm on deadline or anything like that. So it's not, I could definitely, but I have a list.
So wait, you wait for things to happen? You're like,
wait, yes.
But you ever put yourself in situations where you say, oh, man, this is...
it's funny. If you talk to other like autobiography people, they will say that sometimes, when normally they would do nothing in a certain situation, that maybe they would turn it up a notch because the story might be good.
Yeah.
I haven't gotten to that point yet, but I could see how that could happen.
Yeah,
where it's like,
close
you just
crazy.
Want the story.
Yeah. It's very close to crazy.
Yeah. If you need to turn anything up a notch during the show, you just let us
know. We know who to go to.
Yes.
Yeah. Nice. We have a bunch of scorpions you can eat if you want.
Yep.
Ooh,
that's an interesting thing.
Scorpions, what's up?
Yeah,
hold on.
Scorpion.
Yeah, hold on.
Not yet.
The guy's been waiting 4.5 years to do it.
We hired him as a scorpion wrangler. He started doing tech. Big mistake.
I don't know what I'm doing.
We know.
You have the German rock band? Is that?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, we have the scorpions. In the
yeah.
Oh, they were the weird old
yeah.
Yeah, he's our scorpions wrangler.
Yeah.
Yeah, outside are the winds of change.
They're still full of poison, you should know. The rock band, the scorpions are full of poison.
The band poison.
The band poison?
Yeah, the band poison is
inside
scorpions.
Yeah. Boothman takes care of all of that. We don't really get too involved. Ophira, let's chat with you. So you wrote a play, or was it a musical about Archie?
Oh, yeah, I guess it was a musical, although I did not write the music. Actually,
okay.
The woman who wrote the woman who wrote the music, we're talking about an Archie thing I did, wrote also the music for The Drowsy Chaperone. That's what she went to.
Oh.
The lyrics and the music. Yeah.
You guys big musical fans?
Yes.
Okay. One guy.
So tell us about this Archie musical.
I grew up in a convenience store. My parents owned a convenience store.
Fun fact.
And I worked there as a small child and read all the comic books. I read everything, frankly, at all top shelf, if you know what I mean. But I read all the comics, and I had them all for free. And I hated Casper the Ghost, but I loved.
I agree.
Did.
You guys are real.
But I loved Archie.
Kind of a dick.
I loved Archie.
You
was
could never
totally
get behind
into
that ghost shit.
Hot Stuff was good, though. Hot Stuff was good.
Hot Stuff?
The devil.
Like a, that's right, yeah. Okay.
But it was like a cute devil.
Cherub.
Yeah, right, the friendly devil.
Yep.
which now we call alcohol. but back then. So I loved Archie, and I was a child, of course, and I, you know, used to do all things like they had the, you send in pictures of Betty and Veronica in little costumes, and I used to draw them, submit them in, never got one in. But years later, I was dating improvisers, not improvising myself, but doing stand-up in Toronto, and I decided, I had some people involved, and we decided to write the Archie live theater event with the idea that what would happen if these people were allowed to graduate. So halfway during the play, they ask the writer of the comics to graduate, who allows them, and then of course everything goes to shit, you know, they're doing bongs and eating sea monkeys. and you know, and then it's what they become later, and we just had fun with it. Betty became like a Courtney Love kind of character and had Dilton Doyle's illegitimate son, and Weatherby and Miss Grundy got together finally. Yeah, you want that. Archie was gay and was hanging out, like Jughead was his partner. Reggie was like a really shifty, shady senator. Veronica became a police officer. She wanted to go blue collar.
Yeah.
And then Midge showed up and no one recognized her or knew who she was.
Midge?
Yeah, Midge. Exactly. Midge. That was what everyone kept saying. Midge?
Cool.
And then we did a short run of it and then got a cease and desist.
There we go. That's a happy ending. Wait, no, it's not. Would you ever consider secretly remounting the show?
I would love to.
Yeah.
I would. I mean, obviously that was 10 years ago, so I would change and add things.
Yeah, they'd be sexting each other now.
They'd be sexting, yeah. Well, now there's new characters. There is a gay character. We wouldn't have to write
that's right.
Archie is gay.
Yeah.
Just get that guy in.
Kevin Keller.
There was a response. Kevin? That's his
Kevin name. Keller. Oh.
He's getting his own book, I think.
Yes, he is.
Yeah.
Where he's going to be gay married.
Wow.
I think it's just called Mary.
And I think we all know that.
They're just calling it Mary these days.
Not in Archie books.
When will straight people be allowed to get gay married? Is my Why can't we open that door? Yeah.
But, and also, Jughead, as you probably know, is part of the Jews for Jesus movement.
Of course we know that. Yeah, it's
comic. This is a comic book talk show. Of course we know that. Yeah.
No, in Toronto, the Jews for Jesus people hand you comic books to try to get you involved, and there's ones with Jughead.
Really?
And he likes God more than hot dogs.
Wow. Are you serious? So they gave you a cease and desist, and they were like, that's probably fine.
I don't know. Interesting question.
Yeah.
And his name's not Jughead, it's still Jughead.
Yeah.
So
They know he eats a lot of cheeseburgers, right?
Which is still better.
Yeah.
Little sidebar, I had dinner with Pete tonight.
Oh.
He ordered a cheeseburger salad from the place he ordered, which is what I thought a 10-year-old...
The best of both worlds.
If you had to ask a 10-year-old boy what an adult eats, that's what he would say.
Cheeseburger salad!
Cool. I think that's a good note to move to our next section, which we like to call the stack.
Yeah.
All right. So the idea with the stack is we have each made a pick, something that we were particularly excited about, an issue of comic books that came out this week. We're each going to chat about it a little bit. So let's go to Pete's pick first.
Yeah.
Yeah, Pete's pick, which was Justice League number one.
Oh.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Pete, you want to talk about this a little bit?
What happened, audience? This is amazing. Jim Lee is a fantastic artist. Some people don't like all the lines that he puts on costumes, but I enjoy his art very much. And I was just a little, well, I think a lot of people were nervous about the DC reboot, but this was the first issue that I got, and I'm kind of excited about it because I felt like it was done and not the reboot way I thought it would be, where it's like, who are you guys? What's going on? Let's retell everybody's origin story. It kind of tried to do things a little differently, and I really enjoyed it. It's kind of Batman and Green Lantern kind of going head-to-head with some...
Banter,
some ball-busting. It was very interesting. I just thought it was an exciting first issue, and I'm on board.
But they're not in it, right? Isn't that the whole thing? That's that it's a Justice League number one. It's the reboot of the entire DC universe, but the Justice League is kind of
Well, it's got Superman, Batman, Green Lantern, so it's the start of it. It's
for
getting
one
into
panel,
it.
Superman.
Yeah, Superman. I like the Superman reveal at the end. I thought that was cool.
Yeah.
the Batman Green Lantern stuff, it did seem a little bit out of character for each of them.
In a fun way.
Sort of. In general, I liked the book. I thought it was a little sort of, like, boring. But, you know what I mean. Like a straight line.
Yeah, that means it's bad.
Huh? No. It was fine. It was just terrible. I'm just saying, like, I like where it's going, but it was one of those first issues where it's like, okay, at issue 4 is when, like, the things will happen that are exciting. And this is just like...
There was a lot of things that happened. I wouldn't call it boring. I mean, the first couple of panels, there are explosions, Batman's running for his life, you know, and then Green Lantern shows up in nowhere.
Here's the thing, though. I know it's weird for you to be running for your life. Batman runs for his life, like, every hour. Once an hour, he's like, oh! And so that's why...
So it doesn't get exciting anymore when you see him run? I mean, cops are shooting at him.
That happens all the time for that dude. It's like, what do you do every day besides eat child's food?
I read comic books.
Yeah, oh, good. So if there was a day, if it's not normal, if people are like, Pete's reading comic books, that's like sort of what it is. That's right on.
Well, you said it in such an exciting way.
Good point. Yeah.
Why does Wonder Woman have a sword?
Great.
Sketches at the end.
That is literally the only question nobody has asked about this DC movie.
She doesn't need a sword. And why does her costume look like Spider-Man? I don't like this.
Oh, there you go. I thought this was fun. I really enjoyed it a lot. I thought the art was good. I thought it was a fun start. I understand that it's very decompressed. There's not a ton that goes on in this issue. But I think particularly for Jim Lee's art, it's really cool looking. And there's the reinvention of Darkseid's minions is pretty neat. I just had fun reading the comic book. I think it's a fun book. It's not the savior of all comic books, which is kind of what the fandom had built it up to be. But as it is, it's enjoyable. For me. Cool, let's move on to my pick, which is Lock and Key Clockworks, number 2.
Woo!
All right, okay, that's cool. You guys don't have to clap for stuff if you don't care. This book is awesome, and you should care, so you guys are all wrong, and I hate you. Lock and Key is amazing. Best comic book probably on the stands today. If you don't know what it's about, we're getting towards the end game here, so you should go back and read the previous trades. But basically, there's this spooky house spooky house. There you go.
It got optioned, I think, for television, right?
It did, and then it didn't get picked up.
Oh, it didn't?
No, it didn't.
Oh, no?
Pilot's
Stephen
awesome,
King's
though.
Stephen King's son couldn't...
Yeah, couldn't push it.
I like how you're like, oh, it didn't. I'm closing this right now.
Oh, yeah.
No, if it didn't get picked up, I don't want to read it.
Yeah. In this issue, we really are rapidly heading towards the end of the book, I hesitate to say anything about it, but as usual... Joe Hill and Gabriel Rodriguez are putting some amazing, unbelievable stuff in this book. The tension is out of control. The character work is great here. There's a payoff for one of the characters that I didn't even know that I wanted that comes, and it's really wonderful and emotional. Yeah. What do you guys think of it?
I agree with all that. The art here is really a star, I think. Like, it's so different, so, like, expressive, and it's really great, really unique as well. I think this is going to be a whole time travel thing, right? For this arc.
Probably.
Are any of you guys reading this?
Yes.
Cool. Boothman, we're just talking to you. The rest of you guys can leave.
That's not great.
Oh, there was that.
No. Don't upset the audience.
I haven't been to the show in a while. I kind of forgot how I would do it.
True.
Yeah.
If you haven't been reading, go back. It's pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, the panels, the tension, I mean, it's a comic book, but I'm sweating and turning each page like, oh, God, what's going to happen?
I think that's because of the cheeseburger salad.
Yeah. Your body is really at the edge, man.
Guys, cheeseburger salad is healthy, all right? It's got greens and vegetables.
That's rotten meat. And I don't know what's going on with that.
All right, anyways.
The guy who took the order played it pretty cool. when you said cheeseburger salad, but the manager came over and was like, cheeseburger salad? And then the manager went in the back. And then Pete got it. He was like, he asked him 3 times if there was cheeseburger.
Yeah, I didn't see, there wasn't enough meat in my salad. I was like,
this is ground meat we're talking about.
Oh, man. Great book, this Lock and Key, though.
Yeah.
That's cool.
It is very good.
You're good with that? No Wonder Woman's with swords?
I'm not allowed to give away what's going on in it, right?
Yeah, you can talk about it. It's been out for a week.
Someone pulls a key out of someone's head.
Lock and key. Daughter of a locksmith over here.
Yeah, it's incredibly inventive. It's an awesome book. Yeah. Cool, let's move on to our last pick, which is Justin's pick, which is Secret Avengers number 16.
Yeah.
All right.
Nobody likes comics.
Cool. Hey, I just want to say thank you guys for trying our show.
Nice. This Warren Ellis is taking over Secret Avengers, and it's I go 50-50 on him, and this is a very good book. It's the team's pared down. It's just Moon Knight, Beast, Captain America, Steve Rogers, and Black Widow, and they are in a secret base where there's like a whole city, and it's a giant time platform, and they find a car that's powered by nuclear energy, and they have to shoot these guns that have their insignias on them. It's very good.
Why are they secret? I haven't picked up this title.
Well, read the subtitle on the cover.
Oh, wait. Run the mission, don't get seen. Save the world.
Right. Exactly. True. Remember Save the Cheerleader, Save the World? Remember that? Can we have Heroes Nostalgia? We never have that.
We can have The Cape Nostalgia.
No one has that.
That was terrible.
But it reminds me, though, when Save the Cheerleader, Save the World, that was like 5 episodes in Heroes, everyone was crazy about that show. And then that was the end for them. Yeah, it was just one line. Yeah.
Well, like the best writer left, and that was it. That was the end of the show.
Oh, is that?
Yeah.
It showed.
Well, it was kind of bad all the way through.
No, the first season is great.
No, it's not.
Oh, sure.
No. You think it is.
Oh, yeah?
Because
yeah.
After you watch the second season, you said, oh, man, the first season was really good because this is so bad, and there had to be a reason I keep watching this.
I'm a smart person.
You had to justify it. You had to retroactively justify that you watched an entire season.
Oh, no, it's all terrible.
It's the worst.
Got it.
Yeah. I hope.
That's what I say every day when I get up in the morning.
Oh, boy.
That's not true.
Yikes. Anyway, Secret Avengers.
Man, it's like your whole life is a cheeseburger salad.
Yeah, I know. Where's the meat?
Did you like Secret Avengers? Tell us about comics.
I like Warren Ellis. I think he's a great writer. But the art threw me on this.
Great art.
I love this artist. I think it's great. But in this world, it's a little too cartoony. For all the action and stuff that's happening. Like, there's a panel where it's a giant bullet whizzing by, but the bullet looks so cartoony, I was, like, laughing at it. You know, it takes the seriousness out of it if it's...
You didn't feel threatened by the comic book bullet?
The comic bullet didn't, yeah. I was like, that's not a real bullet.
Fair point. I stopped reading there because I thought I had been shot. I thought I was dead. So that's why I liked it so much. It was real edgy.
This is a good book. I enjoyed it. I gotta say, it didn't totally do for me, but I like the art. I think the writing's solid. I like the fact that they're letting Warren Ellis say, hey, I'll do whatever I want with a bunch of Avengers characters and do crazy science stuff in the Marvel Universe.
Yep.
That's fun. So even if I was okay with this issue, I'll definitely be reading the next one.
Oh, real
twist.
Found a positive spin on almost everything.
I love everything all the time.
I know.
Yeah. Do you guys want to talk about this thing before we go on?
Sure.
All right. Bonus stack. That's what we call it, I guess. Extra issue to talk about is Flashpoint number 5, which is actually the issue before Justice League number 1. Now, if you don't know anything about what's going on in comics, basically DC Comics is relaunching their entire superhero line. The last issue was Flashpoint number 5. The first issue was Justice League number 1. Starting with that, heading into this next week, which we'll certainly be talking about in a little bit, a lot of the characters' origins are different, their costumes are different, some of them have swords, some of them have other weird things going on. But this is the last issue of the old DC Universe, so how do you guys think it stacked up?
Stacked up, get it? This is the stack.
Yes.
Get your hands in your pockets.
He's a pretty cool guy.
No, I know. You're cool, Bobby, aren't you?
Yeah, this was horrible. I know he's the Flash, but it's like, it can't be every time if I can just run faster. That gets really old. Like, if I can just run faster, I'll save things. And then the speed treadmill is, I mean, come on. I mean, that is ridiculous.
If you have, do you guys all know about the treadmill, the time traveling treadmill?
Cosmic treadmill.
Cosmic. Oh, sorry. Excuse me. So this issue hinges on the Flash having to catch up with himself running on the cosmic treadmill and stop him from traveling through time.
Yeah.
That's cool. I actually liked of all the issues of the Flashpoint. I thought this was the best. There's a sad, sort of a sad moment at the end, which I'll spoil right here. In this alternate universe, Batman was Bruce Wayne's dad, Thomas Wayne, and Flash brought a letter from Bruce Wayne's dad and gave it to Batman. And he cried. He cried. He cried like four tears at once. I don't know if you guys read it. But there were tears shooting out every corner of his eye. We were shooting a tear out.
Yeah, that's how efficient Batman
is. Yeah, he's like,
back to work. My life.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, the crazy thing about the series is you could have read the first issue and the last issue and been absolutely fine skipping the three in the middle and missed nothing.
Yeah.
Literally nothing whatsoever. I mean, I guess there's a little bit of setup going on. But, yeah, it's fine. It was an okay send-off for the old DC Universe. I think, as it is, I'm glad we got past this, and I'm glad we moved on to something new. One thing I am surprised about, which is another little spoiler for that and also for the new 52 issues, is they're already starting their next big crossover. So they're rebooting the new universe. You read Flashpoint, right?
Yeah.
There's a thing that happens very close to the end where as the Flash is running as quickly as possible and fixing the universe, there's a big lady with some weird lines on her face who says, go Flash. She doesn't say this, but she says, go Flash, run as fast as you can. You have to save the three timelines and merge them so that you can stop what is coming. And then that same lady appears in little Easter egg style in all of the new 52 issues that is coming out. So that means sometime close down the road, there's going to be another big crossover that's happening, which is weird.
Is it called an Easter egg? Is it called an Easter egg if you don't want to find it? It's happy. That's just a regular egg. I think that's more of a regular egg.
It's an Easter egg, but several months later.
They're trying to. The squiggly face lady is going to be a whole comic. That's, I think, that is.
Yeah.
Just
all-star squiggly face lady?
Yeah.
So DC made a bunch of changes. They're like, we have to get this down to the universe everyone wants. Oh, but there are a bunch of timelines. There's got to be like a ton of timelines.
Well, the other weird metatextual thing.
Kids fucking love timelines.
Well, what they actually did was they said there were three timelines. They fractured the timelines, but we're putting them back together and fixing them, which is kind of this weird metatextual commentary on they're taking, there was Wildstorm Comics, Vertigo Comics, and DC Comics. So the three people who split those up in real life are jerks. And we're going to take it and move it back together when we're making
it. So the villains of this new...
are Karen Berger from Vertigo, Paul Levitz, and
Grant Morrison is bringing them back together.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. They're the good guys.
I would love it if at the end of the crossover just went to photos of them being like, sorry. we're really sorry about that.
Yeah.
Now, I just have to ask, is this the first time Flash has a... first time Flash's mother's been proud of him?
Now he doesn't.
Well, she's been.
Is that a character? Flash's mother?
Not exactly.
She's got to be. She's wearing an apron.
That's an iris. Is that supposed to be Iris?
No, that's his mother.
That's his actual mother? Barry Allen's mother?
We're getting into comic book stuff here. Like, real deep comic book stuff. She never existed. I mean, yeah, she was never around. Yeah. Retroactively, Geoff Johns added in that she was murdered by the Reverse Flash, who is the arch-villain of the Flash. In this timeline, the whole idea...
But here's the thing. He's not slow. He's also fast.
Yeah, Reverse Flash. He doesn't go...
Does he run backwards?
And shouldn't he be green? No, like, wouldn't green be the opposite of red?
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, but it's the flip. It's the inverse of his color.
Right. He is yellow. Yeah.
He does a little bit of yellow.
Yeah.
Aww.
Anyway, yes, that's the first time she's ever been proud of him.
Wow.
And she was proud of him for killing her.
Like, yeah, yeah.
She was proud of him being like, yep, I'll die. Go play with your super friends. See you later.
It's a great cartoon.
Yep. Cool.
I feel like everyone should just write this on their mirror, and I couldn't have been prouder or happier to have a son like you. Everyone needs to think that. Aww. Comic book people.
That's really nice. Yeah, I feel weird.
Wow.
Guys, that's it for the stack. We are going to move on with our next section, which is my favorite section because you guys make it up. It's your audience questions. For that, we're going to bring out Booth Man.
Booth Man!
All right. who lives in the booth, and that's why he's dressed like that.
He lives in the booth.
It hangs out with a lot of rock and roll stars.
Yeah, how are those
first, first three questions we pick get some along with the other prizes.
I gotta find out what was in that tree, the raccoon.
No, that's the right. That's the block.
Oh, it's the block. Yeah, the block. I had a bunch of questions.
The Mormon,
buttons,
yeah, yeah.
Actual buttons.
We actually only have three questions.
First. Oh,
but they're all great.
Awesome.
Okay.
With all the focus on the new number ones, what was the best of DC's August final issues?
Okay.
Definitely Batgirl.
I would agree with that.
No!
Yeah.
Okay. Pete, we're friends.
Yeah, Batgirl was great. It was an awesome last issue. A lot of the issues that were wrapping things up didn't really actually wrap anything up. It seemed like they ended abruptly or kind of in the middle or said, well, that's it. Goodbye.
Well, I feel like a lot of them that was true. Like Superboy especially, which I was really liking, was a really weird take on Superboy where there was a secret like society living underneath Smallville and they were like all these like farmers made out of clay. And then they were just like, nope, we turned him to dust. Good luck. And Superboy flew away, and then he's being destroyed, eradicated.
But Batgirl actually wrapped up everything I've been dealing with the series, and not only that, gave us a really poignant glimpse at what would have come if the series had continued. What about you, Pete?
I definitely agree. It was amazing. I'm sad to see Detective Comics go with Scott Snyder. I mean, that was phenomenal.
It was very good. And that's another one that wrapped up really.
Yeah, and it was just, some people were freaked out about not having Bruce Wayne be Batman, but it was such a huge part of this story that if it was, done any other way, it probably wouldn't have been as amazing. So.
Yeah.
Did either of you guys read any of these books?
No, but I feel a little bit of loss that they're ending Detective Comics. I mean, that's where DC Comics gets its name.
Oh.
The
more you know.
All right.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Really?
What?
No.
What?
Oh, I was going to say.
Yeah.
Hand in your nerd card.
Wait, we have a nerd card?
Wait, so who wrote that back?
I'm trying to get rid of
him. Brian Q. Miller.
Brian Q. Miller? Yeah, I don't know that guy. But Gail Simone's writing the new...
She is.
Batgirl... And can I spoil that? Or
Yeah,
she's walking again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it.
Oh, my
That's
God.
It.
She's been in a way. She's been spoiler.
Yeah, she's been in a wheelchair. The Joker shot her.
Yeah.
In The Killing Joke.
Yeah.
And she's been in a wheelchair forever.
I love the idea, though, that someone that didn't know that was just like, big news that Batgirl's walking? Seems like a boring comic.
Yeah. Cool. Raise your hand if you ask that. You're going to get a bunch of prizes.
Oh, yeah.
Let's get the next question.
What does a hat say?
It's an Apple hat.
Hope you like Apple. And Apple computers?
Yeah.
Oh,
cool. No, Apple's the fruit.
Well, I don't know where it came from.
This next person gets a Coors Light cozy.
Oh. Are you having a garage sale? Cool.
You're so classy.
Let's get the next question.
If your life was made into a comic book, who would you get to write and draw?
Nice.
Oh boy.
You got
Bayless.
Yourself.
I would have to choose Jonathan Bayliss as the writer.
Nice. Well, that's a question. Do you appear? How often do you appear?
She does appear.
I do. I appear. I like my hair in a lot of it.
Nice.
Sometimes I have to tweak the nose.
Is this you on the cover here?
Yeah, in the horror. Thanks a lot.
No, that's my ex-girlfriend. That's my ex-girlfriend.
Oh, weird. Oh. I bet she gets real murdered in there.
I'm the skeletal hand.
You're the one choking him?
Yeah.
I think I'd have TJ Kirsch draw me.
TJ Kirsch is an artist that's done work for all of my books. He did a 52-week strip called She Died in Terrebonne, written by Kevin Church. That's a name familiar to anybody. And it was a really good kind of murder mystery weekly strip. And I think it's just getting collected now by a new publisher.
What about you? What would you, who would you have write and draw your life if that you haven't already
Right,
had,
right.
If it would be anybody.
Yeah.
Someone that would write my life, because I'm not, it wouldn't be autobio. So who would write it? Well, I mean, I guess my favorite... It would be, you know what? It would be interesting to exhume Harvey P. Carr and have him do his take on my life. And as far as someone totally new to draw something, I would love. Why don't I go with Jack Kirby. Nice, nice and simple. Something extremely dramatic. And when I, you know, I interned at Marvel Comics, and you know, back is like my senior year of college, and on day one, he died.
You killed him?
Well, no.
You're like a time bullet.
Are we gonna die?
You're not gonna die. You're not gonna die.
Ever?
We're lucky.
Oh, hooray!
Someday. Just not today. But yeah, I would love to see a dramatic take, you know, that nice. Kirby would do on something that is more
just regular.
Yeah, that's like a regular street story as opposed to Thor, you know,
cool. Yeah.
Gods.
Cool. Boy, this is hard. I guess so it was write and draw.
Yeah, the two parts of comics.
It was ink and letter.
Yeah,
no color in your life.
At all. I don't know. Gabriel Rodriguez to draw it, because he's awesome. And Chris Claremont to write it.
You're saying Gabriel Rodriguez because he's
awesome. You want to hang out with some big-breasted women. Then.
I do. And I want to have a catchphrase that I say over and over and over again. And over and over and over again. That would be the sum total powers of my whatever.
Nice. Yeah. Good. Just art. No writing. I just want pictures.
Silent.
Who?
Silent.
Nobody
silent.
In particular.
That's
nobody
the opposite
particular.
Of your
I want the world to draw my life. I actually, does anyone know the comic book creator Jason?
Yeah, I love that guy.
He's amazing.
Belgian. Love that guy.
He's Norwegian. I would have him do it.
And he does a lot of silent comics.
Yeah.
There you go.
That's cool.
Pete?
Oh, man.
You'd have the Punisher write it and Wolverine draw it.
Yeah. That would be phenomenal.
They would not collaborate. They would not collaborate.
The Hulk should write it.
Frank, I've been waiting on the scripts for... I'm on the member of three super teams.
It's tough. I mean, I would... It's really hard. I would say Greg Pak, Fred Van Lanty would be a lot of fun. Then it would be hilarious, I'm guaranteed.
It would be about your life.
Yeah, a lot of cheeseburger salad jokes.
Yeah. That's sort of the villain of the first arc.
To draw it, that's tough. I would... Jim Lee, just because...
a lot of lines.
Well, look at your blazer. Yeah. Lines all over there. Yeah, and then...
that's why you wear that blazer. You're hoping Jim Lee starts drawing.
Yeah, exactly. I'm walking ad for please, Jim Lee, draw my life. But Sugar, he does a lot of really cool stuff.
Sugar?
It's S-H-I-J-A.
Oh, not Anton Sugar.
Sugar?
The character of No Country for Old Men.
He did The Book Hunter, and also he does Yeah, he's like a math genius that also does amazing comics.
There you go.
Sugar.
Cool. That was a good question. Sugar. Raise your hand if you asked that. You're going to get some free comics and a Coors Light beer cozy. All right, let's continue with Pete's garage sale. Let's get the last question.
Who would you...
Hold on. What is that?
It's a Castrol motor oil t-shirt.
Yeah.
You know, that's how you
one size, hope it fits.
Where did you get this stuff? Is that a weird question to ask?
Yeah. Car show.
Garbage sale?
No, I said car show. Car show. Like your interpretation. Garbage sale?
Let's get that last.
Who would you reboot and how, and real people count?
Reboot?
In general?
Reboot.
I'd reboot myself.
Oh.
Good.
That's good. Yeah. Oh, what?
I hope so.
Yeah.
Anybody?
Reboot the Obama administration.
Whoa.
Is that too political?
All right. Yeah. Come on.
I'd reboot this country?
Yeah.
Whoa.
You want to stick to just comic book answers?
Sure.
It says real people count.
Real people count?
Well, in general. I was reading some of the... what was it? Fear Itself, the Fear Itself standalone, and the Speedball character, they're trying to make him like the fun-loving, bouncy Speedball again. Let's just forget the penance thing, right? Does anyone know this?
Speedball
was a bad...
Huh?
He blew up a bunch of kids.
Yeah, but it doesn't mean he has to wear an inside spiky costume.
An Iron Maiden?
Yeah.
Isn't that what it's called?
Yeah.
That's what you do when you blow up a bunch of kids. What do you think's inside this?
Yeah. Whoa.
Whoa. A bunch of kids?
Yeah.
Scorpions.
Okay, cool.
That's why I reboot Speedball.
Yeah. Reboot. I mean, I guess literally anybody?
Literally anybody.
How about like a darker, grittier Mr. Rogers?
Yeah.
That'd be cool. For a new generation.
That would be...
You want a 90s Mr. Rogers?
How about a Glenn Beck?
Yeah, he has a high collar. No feet.
What would he... No feet. Wow, that's fucked up. What did that guy do to you as a child, eh?
Nothing yet. Yeah. But a new generation of kids. So you guys?
I don't really understand this conversation.
Welcome to the show.
Yeah.
But I did think of a character from the Archie world that I don't think exists anymore.
Nope.
That I love, especially if you... I grew up in Canada, so you love this character. Cricket. Do you know who that...
No.
Her big thing was that she had a nose that could smell money. And if she was around too much of it, she would, like, pass out. Like, she couldn't be around too much money.
Wait, but she did she like money, or did she...
No, no, she was just...
Guys, hurry up, we need to finish this article. We did any ideas fine. Okay, we'll just go with that one. Stop money smelling. She's going to be a great foil to Veronica.
She was a ginger. She was a redhead with freckles named Cricket. I think she was from Australia. And, yeah, she had a nose that could smell money, but if she was around too much of it, she would pass out and get really unhappy.
Man, did they ever have
get really unhappy.
Did they ever have a crossover with her and Uncle Scrooge?
Yeah. Think of the possibilities.
Oh, yeah.
That sounds like a character they wrote by filling out a Mad Lib.
I think that's a good reboot. Raise your hand if you asked that. You're going to get a bunch of...
I guess pizza's going to get together.
Oh, you didn't do one yet?
I didn't do one.
What's yours?
No.
With your hands when you see... As soon as you said darker, grittier, I was like, I've always wanted to see the Snorks beat up on the Smurfs, so that would be a fun reboot, I think.
You're a big...
They jump out of the water, kick the shit out of the Smurfs, and that's how they start every episode.
So they're like wiping blue blood off
their and they're like, hey, thanks for tuning in, guys.
What happens for the rest of every episode?
Just what regular antics.
Yeah.
Then they take on Gargamel. I mean, it's like a whole...
Oh, then they take up the mission of the Smurfs.
Yeah.
I don't think that was the mission of the Smurfs.
They were destroying him.
No, but it'd be fun. And then they could, like, take on the gummy bears.
Gummy bears are destroyed.
Exactly. What?
What's something about the Snorks? And I'll tell you what. Smurfs came before the Snorks.
Yeah.
They were like, man, kids sure love, like, appendages. So, like, let's just do these other
guys. What?
Appendages?
Like, this.
That's not appendage.
That's what they're wearing hats.
There was a hat.
Really? Are you for real?
Yeah.
They take their hats off and they have regular heads?
No, yeah.
Talk about the Snorks have the appendages.
Yeah, they have the
Snorks
have the appendages.
Yes, the Smurfs take off their hats and they have heads.
Let's get it. Yeah, they have
like a spout.
No, Smurfs have normal heads.
No,
they have curves head. I know the difference in Snorks. I know one of the Smurfs' names.
I'm sorry. I'm just trying to make sure you're not crazy.
Which name?
All-Star. He was the Snork with a star.
Yeah, but are you saying Smurfs have head like that?
I know the difference. Do Smurfs have... They have regular heads?
They have regular
heads. Those are hats?
Yes.
No fucking way.
Yes.
Yeah, they all wear hats.
Yes. And all the hats all tilt the same way?
Yeah.
That's bullshit. The Smurfette wear a hat?
Yeah.
No woman wears a hat like that. That's like a dock
worker's
hat.
She's a Smurf. She's not a woman.
Why? Was it so cold there? Why the hell are these hats?
They're very sensitive.
It's religious. Tribal.
It's a religious thing.
It's their tribe. Yeah, it's religious.
No,
it's
for God. Okay, now.
They're all Jewish.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yarmulkes, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Wow, I really...
Belgian yarmulkes.
This is... We've really learned something. Yeah, please. This is amazing. All right, that's it for your audience questions. Thank you for playing. Guys, we are going to move on to our next section, which we like to call the Week in Geek. Hit it, Boothman. Yay. All right. This was a surprisingly light week for news, despite all the DC stuff, but we have a couple of things we can go through. First of all, I don't know if you guys heard, big news, the Oscar host is going to be Eddie Murphy this year. So what do you think? As good as or better than James Franco and Anne Hathaway?
Or are you getting the delirious Eddie Murphy or the Pluto Nash Eddie Murphy?
He's playing his character from Pluto Nash.
Oh, man, forget it.
Yeah, he's actually playing his character from Meet Dave.
Oof. He's a robot. A tiny version of himself is going to come out of his face. I don't believe anything anymore once that Smurf story just dropped on me. Anything could be true.
Eddie Murphy's head is also just a hat.
His head is a hat?
Yeah.
And his face is a neck?
Yep.
All right, man. I don't know what's up anymore. I don't know what's up.
Pete, what do you think about this? You're a big Eddie Murphy and Oscars fan.
Oh, man, am I. I'm excited about this because, you know, Eddie Murphy's been talking about getting back to stand-up. So I'm hoping that he's...
for about 15 years.
Yeah, so it would be amazing if he did... He really, you know, did an amazing job at the stand-up portion.
Is he still funny?
No.
Right?
Well,
you can lose the ability to be funny.
Listen, there's obviously... This is like that thing that goes on, which they were like, let's try the new young kids. That didn't fucking work, you know? And so they go like, Eddie Murphy.
Let's try the least popular comedian.
But
Eddie Murphy.
But if he just looks like he's actually doing the job... That will be a step
he'll
up.
Because
last year was like, do you guys want to fucking do the job at any point? No?
Yeah. Just Frank was stoned
funny.
During the whole thing.
Yeah, stoned, and Hathaway was giggly.
I just want Eddie to come out in that, like, red leather.
Yeah.
Start dropping F-bombs.
And not even do the show, just do the entirety of Delirious.
Yeah, just do Delirious.
Yeah, yeah. And then say, there's a bunch of awards.
Yeah.
That would be kind
suit.
Of awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
That's hopefully he's actually going to play every character who comes on stage.
Coming to America, I'd like to see a reprise of that.
Yeah.
That would be good. Sure.
That would be crazy. Can you imagine, bro?
All right, let's move on with another piece of TV news. So AMC announced that they're doing a series based on Kevin Smith's comic book store, Secret Stash. It's going to be a documentary series over several episodes. We'll show the excitement of fandom set in a comic book store. What do you guys think about this? You're looking forward to the series?
They're eating our lunch.
Yeah, what's up, man?
Is that an expression?
Yeah.
Or are they literally eating our lunch?
I was talking about comics is our lunch,
salad?
And they're eating.
Yeah.
Are they gonna? How many cheeseburger salads are they gonna have?
Hopefully not a lot.
That was the only one that will ever be made.
Are they shooting at the one in Red Hook?
Yeah.
Red Bank,
New Jersey.
Red Bank.
Yeah.
Red Bank.
Yeah. Red Bank. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know.
When I read that, I
spent a lot of time in comic book shops. I don't know how interesting it is.
Not going to be a lot of, like, last-minute betrayals, flipping tables over after a fight.
No female characters whatsoever.
Very few female characters. Yeah.
No conversation.
Little conversation.
Awkward
no
glances.
Children.
Can I tell you, actually, just because I think you were referencing the Real Housewives stuff a little bit, right? So I was watching Bravo last night, and there was a commercial for one of the Real Housewives. I think it was Real Housewife for New Jersey, which I'm totally not interested in, never watched any of those shows. The promo ends with one of the guys saying... me and her are gonna fight until the end of time, which makes me want to watch that show so bad.
Yeah,
that sounds awesome. They're gonna fight until the end of time.
Is that the guy that killed himself?
No, that's Beverly Hills. And Beverly Hills, one of the, and they were for 2 seconds. Bravo was like, you know, maybe we should not run the show. No, we're fucking running the show. Like, you know, like guy killed himself.
Well, they have time traveling fights apparently.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
They paid for the funeral.
Yeah.
Cool, and that's it about Secret Stash.
That's enough.
Another piece of AMC news, the next season of The Walking Dead is going to have a 90-minute premiere and then take a large break in the middle of the season and then broadcast the second half. Are you bummed out about that they are going to take such a long break there, or do you feel like, cool, give them their time?
I don't mind that. It's a classic, like, Lost maneuver. You take a long break, and then you come back and do the rest.
HBO. It's as long as they're good.
Right.
First season was okay. I enjoyed it. It was just
the first episode was amazing.
First episode's good.
Well,
Darabont directed that one. I mean, that's really good.
Yeah. Now he's gone. So good.
Is he gone?
Yeah, he's gone.
Fired.
I thought the whole thing was that all the writers were fired and he was
he fired all them. And then they came
fired
back
him.
And fired
so there's
them.
No one running the show there. It's like
aimless zombies. They will fight until the
end. Is Kirkman involved?
Kirkman's actually very involved, much more involved this season.
Yeah, mm-hmm. He's playing all of the parts.
Nice.
Yeah,
it's gonna be cool. The rumor actually is a little bit of spoilers here that the first half of the season is going to take place on Herschel's farm, and then the second half of the season is going to bring in the governor. Now, are you looking forward to seeing the governor on TV?
Sure.
Pataki.
They went with Pataki.
Way back.
Interesting choice. I'm a Cuomo man. That's cool. I mean, the episode where they drive up to the jail and then away from the jail and to the jail and then away from the jail.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to that.
And
that was my favorite
jail and then away from the
part of the comic.
Yeah.
It was great.
I think it's interesting. I also read about this season they're taking a lot of liberties with the comic, and Kirkman's like actually helping them rather than being opposed to it. So it should be an alternate take on the series, but with a lot of Kirkman-esque influence.
Right. Well, I mean, in the comic, the Governor is a character that doesn't really have backstory. But I think in the show, like you said, they're bringing the Governor. I think they've already included
right.
a bit of backstory. That's the sort of guesswork that's going
yeah.
on.
Well, and also there's a book coming out called The Rise of the Governor that's about the whole thing. It's a text, no picture book.
Yeah. Oh, who wants that?
I don't know.
Yeah.
And that character was one of the worst characters. Like, I don't mean worst in quality, but just, like, worst behaved.
Yeah. Evil.
Yeah.
Evil. He was very bad.
Tips.
He was very bad.
Heavily
not a nice guy. Last little thing. This is a news story for Pete. Now, in the new DC universe, they've already announced that Superman and Lois Lane are no longer going to be married.
What?
Clark Kent is now back to pining about Lois Lane. They also announced the other day that Barry Allen, the Flash, is no longer married to his wife, Iris West, at the same time. So what do you think, Pete?
Why do they keep doing this bullshit? Like, what is the point of breaking up relationships? Like,
do you feel like reading all this makes you want to get divorced?
Yeah, I really do. I'm
going
to go home to my wife and say, listen, honey, it's not going to work out because DC says so.
Actually, if you start to feel like you want to be single again, just go to your wife and be like, we were retroactively never married.
Ophira, I'm rebooting.
Yeah.
Doesn't Lois Lane have a new love interest, some blonde guy that never keeps his shirt on? Right?
Yes.
Matthew McConaughey's in, in DC Comics.
But they did give her someone else, right?
Yep.
Yes.
They released a panel, and he's like a real jerk in the panel.
Yeah.
That's what she likes.
Yeah.
She likes jerks.
Everyone likes a bad boy.
Yeah. Also, Perry White apparently is much younger. So maybe it's Perry White.
I mean, I don't understand the thought process. Is someone like, you know, I'd read this comic, but people are married in it, and I hate that. Like, why, you know?
Well, people who aren't married inherently live more exciting lives. As an unmarried, as the only unmarried man on the show tonight, I can just say, it's a nonstop
party. It's exciting that you go somewhere
What are you doing today? What are you at plan for tonight?
Well, I'm looking for a wife.
In all the wrong places.
Cool. Good luck on this show. Guys, that's it for the week indeed. We are going to move on to our next section, which is trivia. And for that, we're going to turn it over to Mr. Peter LePage.
Mr. Peter LePage.
This is the part we give back to you, the lovely audience. Thank you so much for showing up. It's an opportunity to win $25 free in the form of a gift card to Midtown Comics. Who would like a chance to win $25 free? Simply raise your hand.
Easy. Very
simply
simple.
Raising your hand.
Yes, cannot raise your hand.
Yeah, you sir, come on up.
Man.
What is your name?
Thomas.
Thomas, audience? Audience Thomas.
Thomas!
All right. So this is your gift card that you're going to be winning?
is this your first time at the show, sir?
I wish it was, but
no. You wish it was.
I wish it was.
Nice.
Wow. You heard so much. I'm sorry, you're saying you wish you had never come before.
He wants a reboot.
The first time is always special.
That's nice.
But it hurts.
Nice cover, Thomas.
Yeah, nice job. All right, so today's trivia is on Soul Button, so if you're paying attention at all during the first part, you're going to get at least two of these right. How this works is I read you the question. You listen to all three possible answers. No cheating and looking at his face for clues. Go 3 for 3.
Only your face.
Gift card yours. Good. That's right. That's all you need.
That's the advantage of coming to the show.
And use the music. Music always helps. All right. So, Buttons was kind of inspired by what famed comic book person? Is it A, Harvey Pekar, B, Stan Lee, or C, Lou Diamond Phillips? So it's either A or it's B.
Harvey Pekar.
Hey!
He was.
I said kind of because, he, you know, his life inspired it. But anyways, this guy here, first story was published in what free New York City newspaper? Is it A, Marvel Knights, B, Free Comics NYC, or C, Where the Sidewalk Ends?
B?
B is great! I think you need the help on that.
The two answers were pretty ridiculous.
Yep. Who inspired the title, So Buttons? Was it A, his mom, B, his dad, or C, Ralph Macchio? So it's either A,
or the action star.
The action star.
Action
star? A, his mom, which would be the correct answer, or is it B, his dad?
I'm going to give us A.
A is A! $25! $3!
All right. And I really wish Lou Diamond Phillips did a comic now. Probably a La Bamba comic, right?
Yeah, he's been working on it since La Bamba came.
I saw Isai Morales in Washington Square Park last night.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. What was he doing?
He was singing Van Morrison's, Moondance.
Wow.
With a couple of guys. Yeah, it was random.
For change?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, no, seriously.
Oh.
I went to the Buster Keaton Festival and Film Forum, and I'm walking through Washington Square Park, and it's Isai Morales singing Moondance.
Just to clear that up, he wasn't singing for change.
He didn't have a hat out.
Yeah.
He didn't have a hat out.
Okay.
Yeah. He's still getting La Bamba residuals, I think.
You think? How often does that movie play?
HBO Latino, like 24
Richie!
Hours a day.
Yeah.
Also, every Christmas, 24 hours on TBS.
Yeah. Man, what a tradition.
Guys, as we all know, tomorrow is New Comic Book Day. We recommend you go to Midtown Comics because they've been nice enough to sponsor the show. Pete, what are you looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to Detective Comics, seeing what Scott Snyder's going to do.
That's Tony Daniel, actually.
Oh. I'm looking forward to Detective Comics to see if Tony Daniel can pick up where Scott Snyder left off.
Oh,
nice.
There you go.
Isn't he just an artist, that guy?
What?
He's doing
Isn't he
both.
Just an artist?
No, 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 he's writing and doing the art.
I am sure he is.
Yeah! Slam! I'm looking forward to Casanova, the new Casanova series starts tomorrow. Avaricia, I believe is how you say it.
Yeah, something. Avaricia?
Avaricia. I think it's going to be great.
Awesome.
Great
series.
Real, like, fun, trippy. Very creative writing.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to Animal Man, number one, by Jeff Lemire. Awesome looking art, awesome story. Animal Man is great, and Jeff Lemire is the perfect writer for that title, so I'm super psyched for that.
I'm really excited about Rob Liefeld's Hawk and Dove. No, I'm not. No, is that going to last till issue three?
Yeah.
Is it even going to make it?
Can I say, I read it, and it's totally fun.
Oh.
I know. Like, if you like 90s comics, you're going to love it.
Are there no feet and a lot of gritty teeth?
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Dean Haspiel's book, Cuba, My Revolution, it comes out in trade paperback tomorrow, and I haven't read that, so I'd like to check that out.
Cool.
If you're...
Hawk and Dove? No. I have to admit, I was just looking at the list, and the one that I would just like to see is 50 Girls... 50?
Yeah, 50 Girls, 50.
See, I thought it was 50-50 Girls, which sounds like some girls, not so much. 50 Girls.
Ah, 50
is very
girls.
Different. You said it's scant-clad women in space, and they get up to all kinds of no good.
Yep.
And their clothes constantly get ripped off.
Yep.
So I just would like to see this fantasy. Like, I would like to get into the
mind. It's a documentary series.
Yeah, exactly. Muppets were before that, right?
The Muppets are real.
Yeah. Muppets are real. So, yeah, I want to see what porn is happening in space. See why not?
Porn in space.
Who wouldn't? Before we go, Jonathan, plug some stuff. What should people check out?
Yes, please go to my website, sobuttons.com. That's sobuttons.com. I have a new issue.
Not sobuttons.blogspot.com.
No, fuck that one. Sobuttons.com. I have a new issue number 4. It's premiering at SPX this weekend. It's the
awesome.
Small Press Expo, and I got a couple of great artists on it. One is Noah Van Sciver, who just got it's Ethan Van Sciver's brother, but
yeah.
He does indie stuff, and he got a book deal from Fantagraphics. And also, I got had a story done about my internship at Marvel, drawn by Fred Hembeck.
Oh.
Which is, yeah, so that was totally cool to get him
that's
to do
awesome.
That. So that premieres this weekend at SPX. So go to sewbuttons.com.
And you were saying you have a couple of copies here?
If people want to... I don't have the issue number 4. Those are coming in a day or two. But I have issues 1 through 3 here with me if you want to buy
read up beforehand.
Yeah. There you go. Get caught up on all the excitement. Ophira?
Plugging. I tell stories with The Moth and host for one of their slams on the third Thursday of the month at Housing Works. So come out to that. And also as part of a storytelling show called Drawn Out Storytelling, where they had comic book artists drawing like your story as you told it or drawing things before. And they've actually posted on the website. It was really fun. It's called drawnoutstorytelling.com if you want to see different storytellers with comic book artistry involved.
Yeah. Cool. And your comedy CD
as is. Yeah. Yeah. As in, I was saying, the broken stuff on the shelf, as is.
Available on so, iTunes. You
know, yeah, on yeah. iTunes. And I do have a physical copy, which is weird.
Nice.
There you go. A couple of things before we go. You can check us out at youtube.com/comicbookclub for videos. Also at our new website, comicbookclublive.com. Next week on the show, next Tuesday at 8 p.m., we're going to have Mark Bernardin, who is a writer for Sci-Fi's Alphas, is going to come back to the show. He has an episode coming up, so he's going to give us exclusive info about that. Pete, you want to hit us with some more info?
Yeah, friend us on Facebook. That way you get to hear about all the amazing guests that we have on the show. That's it.
Nice.
Thanks, Pete. A couple of people we want to thank before we go. We want to thank Jonathan for being on the show. Yeah! Ophira. Boothman. But most of all, we want to thank you guys. We're here every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Please tell your friends good night.
Good night, guys. Good night.